Do you realise what it means to be born again?
Working on it.
You get the sinner's prayer, which means your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
Not only that, but God forgets them.
He does.
Yep.
He has a short memory.
Amen.
Thank goodness. Jesus died on the cross in order for this to take place. He had become sin and shed his blood. And it is the blood, his blood, that purifies us.
Amen.
Yes.
But what happens when you get born again is you have a seed planted right in the middle of your flesh, which needs feeding. And it's not an easy... it's not easy, but the thing is, you get these... Well, this seed becomes your new nature. What God's planted inside you, and he wants you to become like him.
Amen.
The only way you will rebuild, you know, build this new nature is by feeding it. And the only way you will feed it is studying God's word. We need to pray and talk to God. This builds an intimate relationship with him. Thus, he will be able to talk to you. And the more you do it, the more you spend time with God, praying, reading his word, the more intimate your relationship will get with him. And the stronger you'll feel his voice inside you. You'll be able to feel him. Well, I mean, I'm saying this with passion because that is what I felt. And I've got to say it because... just wait a minute. So... I want us all to ask ourselves a question. Do we want to bring this seed to maturity?
Yes.
My own answer to this is yes. I've had a relationship with God for about 7 to 8 years now. But this 7 to 8 years, I lived as a part-time carnal Christian.
Yeah.
Now that part-time carnal Christian is picking up the Bible when I feel like it. I mean, I did have a passion, but everything else just come before God, before that Bible. You know, I was living with the flesh. Now the flesh is very, very hard work. I know this because I've reacted to the flesh so much. I've reacted to people upsetting me. I've gone to the local pub. I've seen things. I've reacted. I've sat there and I've had one drink and then I've had another one. Then I've had another one, got myself into a set and thought, well, I shouldn't have done that. You know, I'm just saying how easy it is to get into it. And I actually didn't realise I was living in the sins of... I didn't realise... Really, it's hard to get out of. But I just felt I needed to say this with passion. I stayed focused on my feelings and emotions, reacting to them. And it brought me some heart-wrenching situations. Now, this isn't God's fault. And one thing I want you to take on board is that God cannot look at sin. He just can't. There's no way you'll have a relationship with him if you're going to turn to that sin, whatever you're doing. And we all know what the sins are. We only need to look in the Bible. He'll tell you what the sins are.
Yeah.
They come in all ways, shapes and forms of things. Anyway, recently I've been reading the Word. I made it a passion. I made a determined effort to do it. And by gum, I felt God come close to me so much. And last Sunday, I received the sinner's prayer again with a few of you here. And it was absolutely wonderful. I really, honestly, I've learnt about the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Jesus dying on the cross. That he had to become sin for us. And I've sat there and thought, I don't deserve this. He did that. And you know, they couldn't kill him because he just wasn't, he wasn't sin, was he? And but he became he had to become sin, and that's the only way that he could die. And the one thing what punches me is the fact that when this happened, God couldn't look at his son. He just couldn't, because he can't. He just cannot associate with sin. He can't. So I think that is a blessing to us all. Now then, where am I going with this? I think I've probably said, I wrote it all down, but I've ended up saying it. And that's the first time I've ever done it. Said it from the heart.
Yeah, amen. That's where it comes from.
Because it is passionate. I feel really passionate about it, because I just want to say, I know how easy it is when you're going through things to get into the sins of the flesh. I know what it's like. I've done it myself, and luckily, you know, I've listened to Joyce Meyer, I've listened to her a lot, and God bless Bill for doing it for me. You know, I've kept listening, and she says she's kept going on the same mountain over and over again, and she were doing the same thing, putting the sin on the cross, and then taking it back down again. And we all do it. So, and it just made me want to just say to you, I mean, I'm just so glad I became born again last week, and I want to bring this spirit inside me to full maturity.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And I want to thank everybody, all my friends here, because I think you're all wonderful. I love you all, and the support means a lot to me. And one biggest thing, what Grace was saying about God's love. Do you know, over the last few weeks, I feel a bit silly to say this, but I have felt God's love.
Yeah.
And it's took me, I have not felt it for last year at this time. I didn't know what love was. I mean, I was building my relationship up with him, but it's just like he slapped me and said, one thing I've got to say is, I feel like God slapped me that many times, but there's only God who can slap you across the face and it'd be nice. I'm sorry, but that's how I feel. That's just how I feel. Yeah. And something else I want to tell you today. I've been to the gym, and do you know who I met? Mr. Universe.
No.
Mr. Universe, and you never guess who else I met as well, in close proximity of each other, Jessica Ennis. Now, that's two different extremes, isn't it? But my trainer told me he was here, and I said, oh, can I meet him? Can I have a look? So I went over to him. Oh, and that body, what he's done to that body. But what I'm saying, what I want to say is, what you put into your body and how you treat it is your own conscience. It's your own... I know that because it's really important. I met him and we got into a conversation about eating and all sorts of things. And that dedication, what he has, and there's him wanting to build up his muscle. And then there's Jessica Ennis. Well, she's so petite and slender. And I just thought the dedication on both sides, what they have. And I thought... I mean, I've been eating healthy, and I mean, I shared with you a few weeks ago what I've been doing, but you do backslide a bit. You do, my trainer says, well, you have a takeaway one night, or you can have a naughty day and do this, do that, you know, eat. But, you know, if you do it too much, you'll suffer consequences. But, it's just about me today, I think I'm going to readjust myself again, because I felt God saying to me, it's like as if he were there. So he did it in such a nice way. But it's made me rethink. And just think... Because I said to this Mr. Universe, I said, can you do anything for this body? Can you help me? Can you help me? I goes to him. And he says, I come here every weekend, he says. He says, I'll help you all I can. He says, I don't mind talking to you and helping you out. He says, I'll... write me down what you eat 3 days on the trot, and all this, he says, I'll help you. And it was wonderful. I had my photograph took with him as well. Well, I'm going to get a copy of that. It was wonderful. Just absolute, such a blessing. And what I'm saying is, he's such a lovely, lovely, lovely guy. And when he walked out, he'd done his training. I sat after my training having a coffee. And he walked out and he said, it's been a right pleasure to meet you. And it was from the heart. I knew that. I just felt that was spirit, that was God. I don't know, I just felt, well, something. And I've thanked God all my home. I've kept thinking, well, thank you, work. And I think it's because I've been with the Word. Yeah. And he knows I'm going to make a few wrong turns or say the wrong thing or do. God knows that. But the thing is, if you stick with the Word, yes, then it brings you closer to Him. And I still, well, I don't know how to say it. It's just like I've built up this wonderful relationship, and it's like as if I'm, well, and he's got a great sense of humour as well. You know, it's.
Amen. Thanks God.
Anyway, I hope it's all made sense. I'm sort of passionate about this and excited because I thought it was wonderful because I've learned a lot of lessons, and it's been well worth it. So I just want to encourage anybody here, you know, if you've took a few backward steps, it's not, you know, God's all a lovely whatever. And that's what I've learned. That love has been the biggest thing, and I love it. Yeah. It's great. It is.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, being born again, what is that? It's taken me 12 and a half years to become born again in 3 stages. First occasion was at a Louis Palau conference in Sheffield Arena in year 2000, April 2000. It was a similar setup to what Billy Graham does, where he says, oh, I'd ask you to come out here and give your heart to Jesus. So I went out, I didn't know what I was doing, but somebody comes up to you and starts asking you questions. Do you give your heart to Jesus? Do you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins? And I said, yes. It was a bit of a lie because I thought, oh, no, I don't. This is how I thought of it logically at the time. I wasn't quite a Christian then, so I thought of things logically, which we shouldn't do. How can he die for my sins 2,000 years ago when I've only committed them in the last few years? So that was what was flowing through my head, but I just went along with it. I thought, I'm going along with it. I went through the sinner's prayer and all that stuff, and there I am, I'm born again. No, I'm not. I wasn't born again. Thought I was. Plodded on, came to this church for the next 12 years, found myself backsliding, and suddenly I'm gradually becoming the person that I was previously. All my old habits coming back, the old man being rebirthed in me. But I would urge anybody, don't give up. No, don't give up. Because, I mean, I could have said, well, I'm not going to church anymore, it's not my scene. You know, and a lot of people, as we know, they come to this church and we think they're very fervent in their walk with God, and then suddenly they're not here anymore. Where were they? Yeah. It gives a kick in the teeth sometimes, these people. But I would urge people don't to give up, because, I mean, this year I took a long look at myself and I thought, this is not working. So, well, in the privacy of my own self, I made myself born again with the sinner's prayer and everything else, and made a new undertaking and gave promises to God and repented of all of my sins and said we're not going there no more, and looked at everything that I was doing wrong in my life, decided to review it and change it.
Amen.
And that's gone on for a few months now, and I'm getting quite content in that. Amen. But then, as we saw last week, we came out here and did it because I would urge other people to look at this one as well, because Billy Graham often says, we say it almost every week, that Jesus said, if you will not declare yourself to me publicly, something like that, then I will not be with you before my Father. And there's a scripture that relates to that. It's in Matthew, I think. If you look on the front page of our website, the home page, it's there. It's not exactly worded like that, but it is worded that loosely leads Billy Graham to say that. So we look at that. So we come out here and we do it publicly. And now I think that's after 12 and a half years, that's the final seal on it. And anybody else who wants to be born again, don't do it privately. Or if you do it privately, don't stop there. No. Come out here and give your heart to Jesus in front of the rest of us. So we can all see it. Amen.
Yes, you need to keep partaking of the word.
Yeah.
And as you take the word of God into you, you become it. It becomes you. And it changes our lives. Okay. Well, let me say this to you, Gary, that in a very brief explanation, it's not just what you retain in your mind, because when you come to Jesus, you give your life to Jesus Christ, and the word says you become born again. Well, you didn't suddenly end up with nappies on you, did you? Yeah. But you're born of the Spirit. What it means is that your spirit becomes alive to God.
Yeah.
Right? And so when you read the word, and let me give you a word of encouragement, and I say this to everybody. They'll tell you, I've said this before, when you read the Bible, read it out aloud.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. No, but every one of us will read a passage of the Bible, and I'll guarantee that most of them can't remember the majority of it. Hello? Is that true?
Yeah.
Let's see, have a show of hands. Now, some of these people, believe it or not, have got university degrees. I don't know how they got them, you know what I mean, but... But let me just carry on with my thought. So read it out aloud, and what you're doing is you're reading to your spirit. And God is has made a new spirit within you.
Yeah.
I come to church sometimes, and most of the time I minister quite a lot in the church as a leader. So the other week I came to church and I got everything ready, got it written down, sat there, and God said to me, "We're not doing that today." And I went, "What? Or what we're going to do?" And he gave me a verse of scripture. He said, "We're going to start here." And then it just began to flow. Now, where did it come from? It didn't come out of here. But it came right down in the Spirit. Because when the Spirit of God... It's like when you came in, I was talking about how God created Adam. He made him physically. But Adam wasn't a living being at that point in time. And then it says, and then God breathed into him the breath of life. Now God is spirit. So what is God breathing into him? Thank you. You're smart, you know. You're smarter than what you think. He's breathing spirit into Adam.
Yeah.
And when we become born again, God's breathing spirit into you.
Amen.
Right? So it's not about how many grey cells you've got and how many grey cells they'll remember things, but it's about what your spirit can do. And you... Right. Just read it. Yeah. Just read it and it'll sink, it'll go into your spirit. And then the Bible says, and then he, the Holy Spirit, will bring to remembrance. It's God's, the Holy Spirit's job to bring to remembrance the word of God for you at the right appointed time.
Amen.
So don't sweat about it. Yeah, relax and just keep reading. And then suddenly one day you'll be saying things you think.
Yeah.
And you'll be saying, "Where did that come from?" And I'm telling you, it came from God, but you started it because you planted seed. When you read the word of God out aloud, you're planting seed into your own spirit. Absolutely, absolutely. Just do it. You know, we didn't arrive here just in one moment. You know, Moses didn't lead the children of Israel out the first day he was called. He went 40 years and wandered round in a wilderness. You know, not a lot to do. You know, sheep to talk to. Can you imagine talking to sheep all day? Trying not to drive anybody crazy, you know. Bah, bah, you know. Tup in here and tup in there and bah, bah, you know. And that's all he got from them. But God did a work in him. And then he brought out over 3 million people out of Egypt, through a wilderness, and led them towards the promised land. You know, hey, it's not about what you know up here. It's not about what qualifications you've got. But it's about what you've put into here in your spirit by reading the word. So be encouraged.
Yes.
Don't get down about it, because it will come. It will grow. When you put seeds in the ground, you don't stand there the next day. I put some grass seed out the other day. And I went out the next day. Thankfully, no, there's some still there. And I said to Grace, still no grass, you know. She just looked at me and laughed. I said, there's no grass out there, you know. I went back the next day. And guess what? Still no grass. I haven't looked since. So I don't know what's there now at the moment. But I'm just believing God that I planted that seed. And one day I'm going to walk by it. And do you know what I'm going to see? Grass. Hopefully not seed, yeah, grass. You know, there'll be fruit from the seed. And as you and I read the word of God, then fruit comes right out from us. Bill will tell you. You know, he's been here 12, is it 12? 12 and a bit, whatever anyway. He's been here a while. And you know, the words in this last few months has just suddenly really come alive in him. Right? And hey, it's a long seed. It's been in the ground a while. 7 years. It's been in the ground a while. Some of us can get frustrated, you know. Say, you know, come on. But as you plant it, and you've started doing more planting, and it's becoming now, it's beginning to increase. And it, just get the word into you, that's all you got to do. Don't stress over it. Don't, you know, think, I can't remember it. Just feed it. Just feed it. Some people. Exactly. Exactly. Absolutely. That's right. There are things that you've read, there are things that I've read. And sometimes I read them and I don't really know what they mean. Right? But then all of a sudden, one day, the light comes on. And there's a revelation of what God has been saying to me. But I've read it years ago. And I've read it numerous times. And it's never quite made any sense. And then one day, the light came on.
Amen.
God put a spotlight on it and said, I want to tell you what this means. So don't worry about that. Just read it, absorb it, and then one day the light's just going to come on. Glory to God. And as you say, you'll be out in them streets just planting seeds to the glory of God. Amen. Praise His wonderful name. You know, just do it. You know, feed on the word. Let the word fill you with life. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly.
Amen.
And when that word begins to grow in you, you will see mighty things happening. Praise His wonderful name.
Amen.
God is a good God to us.
Yes.
He wants to see you filled and growing in the kingdom. But the only way to grow is to keep feeding the word, keep feeding your spirit with the word of God. The only way, you know, if you want to stay strong physically, you eat, don't you? If you don't eat, what happens to you? You get lightheaded, feel dizzy, you lose your strength. And that's because you've not eaten. If you don't eat spiritually, similar sort of things are going to happen. You're weak, you're insipid, and you're easily blown over and distracted by the devil and caught in sin. And the devil wants you to not eat the word of God. But Jesus said, partake of me.
Yeah.
I am the word. I'm the Word, he says. Partake of me. And when you read the Bible, when you read the Word of God, you are partaking of Jesus.
Amen.
You know, when you said he died on a cross and he took on our sins, I'm going to just take it one shade further for you. When he died on that cross, he died as Christine. He died as Dharma. He died as Andrew. He died as Bill. He took my name. He took my nature. And it was nailed to that cross. Jesus became me and took my punishment. He said, well, how did he do that? You weren't born. But he knew. He knew from the beginning to the end. And he died for all those sins. And he took my name. He died for the past sins. He died for the future sins. And he died as me. He took my place on that cross. I should have been on that cross. You should have been on that cross. Yeah. And that's right. And that's when we say, when we come to Christ, we're born again. The old nature should die. It died on that cross 2,000 years ago. Stop giving it life. Stop going to the wrong places and giving it life. Stop looking at the wrong things and giving it life. Stop taking the wrong things and giving it life. But take the right things and give life to the Spirit of God that's in you. And it will change you, renew you, strengthen you and give you life. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm not preaching today.
I would like to give you an assignment. I'm suggesting that you read the book of Proverbs and notice how often it speaks of wisdom. It never tells us to be led by emotion, but it strongly encourages us to pursue wisdom. I like to say wisdom does now. I like to say wisdom does now what it will be satisfied with later. It does not merely do what it feels like doing, but it chose what is right. I think we all know the people led by their feelings do not want to wait for anything. They want everything right now. But as you study Proverbs, one of the things you will learn is wisdom waits for the proper time to do things. Wisdom always waits for the right time to act. While our personal desires call for immediate action, emotionalists is rash. It does not stop to consider the outcome of its actions, while wisdom calmly looks ahead. While wisdom calmly looks ahead to determine how a decision will affect the future, feelings are only concerned with what is happening at the moment. Be not rash with your mouth, and let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. How many times have you said or done something in the heat of the moment, when later experienced deep, deep regret for your rash action? Oh, if I had only kept my mouth shut. It is amazing the damage that can be done to a relationship by one emotional outburst. One time when I was trying to learn to control my mouth and not talk back to my husband, I got so emotional that the Lord had to say to me, "That's enough. Don't you say another word." I hurried, left the room, ran down the hall and locked myself in the bathroom. I was so upset I buried my face in a towel and screamed into it. Sometimes the strongholds in our flesh become so ingrained, it takes some pretty determined action to break them down. That's why we need to learn to fight against our undisciplined desires and bring them into submission to the will of God. How many times would things have turned out quite differently
in your life had you only waited and seriously thought about a decision before you made it? We can all think of many times like that, so let's at least learn from our mistakes and not keep doing the same destructive thing over and over. We think it is hard to wait and often say that, but the really hard thing is behaving rashly, then spending days, months or even years trying to undo the damage done in that moment of reaction. Even when I am making a serious purchase, I often walk away from the item for 5 to 10 minutes, giving an emotion an opportunity to subside before I decide what I want to do. Most of the world is in deep debt because of emotional spending, something that they say get them excited, and their desire hinders common sense and reaction. I really encourage you to make a decision to be an expert at waiting for a proper timing. Don't do things you don't have peace in your heart about doing. Thousands of people struggle trying to keep commitments they made in a time of heated emotion. Think before you make a promise and make sure you really want to do long term what is going to be required.
Amen. Well, I feel in my spirit just to say also a few words. And basically is my personal observation about us, like a church and a family. I've witnessed and seen how the Lord is operating in our lives. Bishop, we remember, gave this testimony in Strasbourg about our brother and beloved Graham, the kind of heart full of love that he has.
Amen.
And his commitment not only to God but to us as well. When I'm due to preach, I mind my own business preparing the message. I don't ask myself, we have to stop what I'm doing to go and prepare the church, open the church. Because I know Graham is there.
Amen.
With love, he will do the job.
Amen.
And we had these testimonies, Bill testimony, Christine testimony.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yes.
Truly wonderful. The Lord led somebody to ask Bishop to pray for all of us. And last Sunday, he did so. And at the end, the same Lord touched Ivy to lay her hand and anoint Bishop.
Yeah.
You don't find that elsewhere.
No.
You don't.
No.
Visit all the churches. You won't find that. No. And he submitted himself to Ivy.
Yeah.
And considered that prayer. Though elsewhere you find people, leaders, we are supernaturals, we are out of this world. And I've seen John year after year, her commitment to the Lord and to us, baking those cakes every Sunday without even receiving money from the church to do so. And I know. When I finished, even when I was fasting, I came here in state of fasting, I know that I will have my cup of tea and my cake. Without even any worry that, is he going to be there or not?
Yeah.
But the Lord knows.
Yes.
And Ken, I have to testify this.
Yeah.
I've seen your weak beginnings of teaching and stuff. Mm. And where we are today.
Yeah.
Powerful.
Powerful.
Not only that progress in developing the skills, but more importantly, the connection to the Spirit of the Lord. It's amazing. So whatever you do, just continue to do that, because it's perfect. That connection to the Holy Spirit. I never sat there and hear your message and I'm not spoken to from the heart of God. Never. It's amazing. It's really amazing. And thanks to you, our leader, to submit yourself to the Lord and to allow us to be a church.
Amen.
Not follow the rituals and not causing people to live in fear in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
But to have that freedom.
Yes.
I don't know, brother, if it's your first time to come here, but look at the kind of freedom you got to express yourself, what you have in your heart.
Yeah.
Hey, you don't get that opportunity elsewhere.
No.
No. You have just to zip it, to shut your mouth and sit there in fear. And you live here without even being noticed.
Yeah.
But this is how the church has to be.
Because
if this is the house of God and you are a child of God,
amen,
you have to feel free,
yeah,
not in fear.
Yeah.
But of course, you are in awe to the Lord.
Amen.
But you have that freedom. And thank you, Pastor, for creating that kind of atmosphere in our church. Because if you followed the pathway that we see out there, nobody could have this freedom to come and share his heart. Before we receive this powerful message that we are more than conqueror and we live in that victory throughout this week, but what Christine, what Bill shared with us, it's powerful. We could even just praise the Lord without receiving the message. We go home. Which church you go there and you have all your time to pour out your heart and share what the Lord is doing in you? So, brief, I'm concluding saying, physically, we are not many.
No.
And people can look down on us. But in the spirit realm, the Lord is among us.
Amen.
And he is doing wonders.
Yes.
We are changing from glory to glory.
Amen.
We are being well fed spiritually. According to his own time, when he will choose to add other souls to us, he will do so.
Amen. Amen.
Let us be faithful.
Yes.
Continue to love each other,
yes,
and to cause the word of God to change and transform us.
Yes.
Tracy, you come from far.
Yes.
And every time we see that change in you,
and
we are so happy whenever we are fellowshipping with you. Fantastic. So may the Lord help us and let all of us be really encouraged and continue to press on. We are special. God bless you all.
is just so encouraging. I thank God for that. And it just brought back some remembrance, and I just want to remind us of a few things God has said. When we first began Harvest Fields, God said to us we were to sow, dig a well of freedom. And he said that is what had to happen. The people had to be free. They were so in bondage to systems and religion, they needed to be free. And then God gave us a prophecy, and he said we were not even to let her. He was going to do something here that had never ever been done before. It would be a first, like when the walls of Jericho came down. And he said, but you've got to be so close that not even a human hair can get between you. And we've been through a lot of struggles and fights and wars, not amongst us, but fractions have come and fractions have gone. But God will work with those who will remain in love. Amen. And work. Love isn't an emotion. It's not something easy. You know, that when Israel came back to God like the prodigal son, it was no easy thing for God. He gave everything. His commitment was full on. And he had to work at it. He had to send Jesus to die. You know, we need to work at it sometimes. We can't run on emotion and how we feel. And God said we had to be a people that not even a human hair could get between us. He also said we would be the churched of the unchurched. He said that God would bring in people here who had no religious notions. And they would be actually religious virgins. They would never have known religion. And when I was reading through Hosea, you know, about these prostitutes God makes into virgins, and they're not pre-church, they've no religious notions. They're hungry for God, and they want to get closer and closer and closer to him till they're one with him. And the very heartbeat of them is God's heartbeat. And that's what will change everything. That's when God will act. And I just see the process happening. And thank you, Dharma, for pointing things out to us. Yeah, we're in the process. God's at work. He's in the house. Amen.
Amen. Woo-hoo! How do you follow that? I don't know either, really. Yeah. This morning, I was in New York. At Aiken Baptist Church. And the minister, well, the guest speaker, spoke from Acts 4, starting at verse 24 to the end of the chapter. It was on about the early church. Yeah. And earlier on in the chapter, we read about Peter and John healing the leper.
Amen.
That man had never been free to walk until that point. And the religious people didn't like it.
No.
And they beat them up for it.
Yeah.
But the early church, instead of focusing and getting angry,
yeah,
looked at God.
Amen.
Said, oh Lord, it is you who made the heavens and the earth.
Indeed.
The sea and all that is in them.
Amen.
Whom by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant said, why did the Gentiles rage and the people devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, who you anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate, among the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur.
Yeah.
No, it's God who predestined it to occur,
yes,
not man.
Yeah.
And it's love held Jesus on that cross.
It did,
it's that love we're going to celebrate now in
Amen.
This feast.
Praise God, the love.
Father, we thank you.
We do.
On the night you betrayed, you took bread,
yes,
and you broke it.
Amen.
And you shared it amongst your disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you.
Mm.
Do this as often as you do in remembrance of me. Mm. And Father, we're doing it right now, Father, in remembrance of you, Father. because you've given us this little feast to share.
Amen.
And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.